But here in Mark chapter 12, this could be considered one of the most important truths in the New Testament. Say, how can that be? Well, because Jesus said so. He was asked the question, as you'll see, what's the most important or greatest commandment of all? And this was his answer. So we definitely should take heed to what our Lord had to say. So notice down in verse 28 of Mark chapter 12, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That last sentence will be our title. There is none other commandment greater than these. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that we would push aside any distractions and we would focus on opening our hearts to hear from you today, that we might bring honor to your word as we allow it to sink into our lives and to change us and to convict us as needed. And I pray you'll be glorified. I pray you'll guide us. And Lord, you'll be pleased with this service. We give it to you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Which is the first or the greatest commandment? That was the question. And of course, Jesus, being God, always knows the answers and the right answers. And as we see, he said there are two commandments in the Bible that basically, as Paul said, hangs all the law and the prophets. And those two commandments he gave us. So we'll walk through them together. But what we see before he even gives the commandments, and by the way, these two commandments that he's quoting are from the Old Testament, yes, but they're not from the Ten Commandments, which is interesting, isn't it? We hear that word commandments and we often think Ten Commandments, which are listed in Exodus chapter 20. Neither one of these commandments are in Exodus. One's in Deuteronomy and one's in Leviticus. So this first one is in Deuteronomy 6 and the other one's in Leviticus 19. And yet Jesus, being the Word himself, says these are the greatest commandments in the Bible. That is true for Old Testament, it is true for New Testament. They are the greatest commandments. But notice what he says in verse 29, the Lord our God is one Lord. He starts there with that foundational truth that there is only one God. And he is the God of heaven. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. And what he's teaching us is that God is the only one that is worthy of worship. God is the only one that is worthy of glory. And that if we put anything before him, we are violating this first commandment. Anything that we put before the Lord Jesus Christ can become an idol in our lives. John said at the end of his epistle, 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. He's not just talking about a figurine. Anything that we allow to be an idol in our heart that we put above God means that we're not loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus made a statement in Matthew 15, if you want to turn over there quickly, talking about the Jewish leaders of the day and talking about how they seemed to honor him with their words, and yet their behavior and their hearts, no. And that hasn't changed. You still have people walking around saying, I love God, I love God. And they go to church and they get all, you know, up in the air and talking about how much they love God. But if they're not obeying God during the week, then they don't love God. Because love is not how you feel. Love is what you do. And you've heard this enough times. But notice what he says here in Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They're saying it, that they love God, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And it's in the heart where God wants us to love Him. In other words, it's all of our being that God wants us to love Him. He doesn't just want us to be saying it all the time. He wants us to be showing it. And before we dive into verse 30, there are some things in the New Testament that we're specifically told not to love. And things that we have to be careful because we have a tendency to love. Those three things are not complicated. One is the world. Right? 1 John chapter 2, love not the world. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the one of the things that we're told definitely not to love, not only not above God, but ever, is we're not to love the world. The other thing we're told never to love is money. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. But we see it around us all the time, don't we? People love money so much, they're willing to do anything to get more of it. God says it's the root of all evil. So we're not to love the world, we're not to love money. And the third thing we're told not to love is, guess who? Ourselves. The Bible says in talking about the end days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And Jesus said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. We're not to love ourselves. We're not to love the world. We're not to love money. So we got that out of the way. Who are we to love? Go to verse 30 of our passage, Mark chapter 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's who we're to love. And then he breaks it down for us. All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. I've heard many Christians say, that's impossible. It is impossible to do it 100% because we are sinners. Which means we will never attain, right? Which means we still have work to do. We haven't arrived yet. But we do have the Holy Spirit living in us who can help us and strengthen us and guide us. We do have God's Word which can guide us and grow us, that can help us to obey the most important commandment in the Bible, which is to love the Lord thy God. So let's talk about it. Let's break it down. First, he says, all thy heart. Now, in the Bible, the heart is referring to our affections. It's referring to what we're devoted to. And God wants us to love him with all of our affections, all of our devotion. Go, if you would, to Psalm 42, verse 1. David understood this truth. Most of us know Proverbs 3, 5, which says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. But notice Psalm 42, verse 1. David says, as the heart, that's a different heart, by the way, that's a deer. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, I actually pant after you. I actually desire to be with you, Lord. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be so in love with him that we desire to spend time with him. And that when we do spend time with him, we just sang about the sweet hour of prayer. A lot of Christians don't even know what that means. They have a sweet 5 minutes of prayer. That's because they don't love God. They say they do, but they don't want to spend any time with him. How can you say that? How can you have a young couple, you know, they're engaged. What do? They spend every minute together, don't they? And if they're apart for a day, they act like it's the end of the world. And yet, how many Christians can go days and days without spending time with the one they claim to love above all else, which is God himself? And so our heart is what we consider important, what we consider number one in our lives that we're absolutely devoted to. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's not just talking about money there. Anything that we treasure above God, that's where our heart's going to be. But God says, no, I want your heart. I want it all. I want to be number one in your life. I want you to be devoted to me above all else. And he's not asking too much because he's worthy of this. He is the great God, the holy God that gave us eternal life and a home in heaven. He says, I want you to love me with all of your heart. Not a piece of it, all of it. And so what do we value more than God? If there is anything that we can answer in that question, family, money, whatever, then we don't love God with all of our heart. Then he says, verse 30, Mark chapter 12, and with all thy soul. This has more to do with our will, what we talk about, what we're really set our goals for. God says, I want you to love me with all of your soul as well. And if you go to Psalm 34 this time, David again is our example here. And by the way, there's only one person in the entire scriptures that God says he was a man after God's own heart. And that was David. David was a sinner like we are. David made a lot of mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. So we can take a lot of example from him. Notice Psalm 34, verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that good? He says, I'm going to be praising God all the time because I love him with all my soul. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. That's going to be the focus of my life is God. And that's what it means to love God with all of your soul. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Being willing to say, Lord, I'm all yours. Your soul is your who you are as a person. And you belong to God, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. There's about 150 of them in the New Testament. Do we keep them all? If we love God with all of our heart and soul, we will. And when we break one, we'll confess it and ask God to help us with it. But we're not just going to go willy-nilly through our lives and just ignore the commandments of our Savior, because we love him with all of our heart and soul. So what we're devoted to, what are our affections, and what are our goals, what's our will? Is it all about self? Is it all about pleasing me? Or is it about Jesus and pleasing him? Then he goes on to say, with all thy mind. He's covering the whole thing, isn't he? I want you to love me with all your heart. I want you to love me with all your soul. And I want all of your mind. And we know what this is what we think about. This is what's important to us. That this is our thought life. Do we think about the Lord? Or is he just a fleeting thing on Sundays? You know, Paul in Philippians 4:8, if you want to turn there, he understood this. And he said, we've got to learn to control our thought life, because if we don't, the devil's happy to. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 says, though we war in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling out of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that brings itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. That's a battle, isn't it? Bringing our thoughts into captivity. That's why Paul said here in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God wants our mind. Does our mind need some work? Yep. That's why he tells us, Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our mind needs a lot of work. Well, let me tell you, this has the power to help you there. But if we don't spend enough time in it, the devil knows. So God says, I want you to love me with all of your heart, all of your devotion, all of your affections. I want you to love me with all of your soul. And I want you to love me with all of your mind. And then he finishes there in saying, Verse 30, in all thy strength. All thy strength. This has to do with what we spend our time on. Do we spend it on self or do we spend it on serving the Lord? Now, we can't serve the Lord 24/7, most people, because they have a job. But our time, we give as much of our time that we can to the Lord. God says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then, of course, John 15:5, turn over there, Jesus said that he wants to be involved in our lives to the point that we can accomplish great things and be a fruit-bearing Christian for him, but we can't do it without him. Notice John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at this last phrase. For without me, you can do nothing. So what are we devoted to? Through our actions. It's obvious. God knows. Again, love is action. What do we consider most important? Through our actions. God knows. He sees our actions. What do we talk about? What do we think about? What are our goals? What do we spend our time and our energy on? Jesus is saying, I want all of you. I want all of your being. And by the way, he made us, so he knows what we're made of. And he just covered the whole thing, didn't he? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. It sounds like we've got some work to do. That's just one commandment, but it's the greatest commandment. God says, I want you to love me with all of who you are. And that should be obvious by your actions. Because if we love God with all of our heart and soul, it means we're going to want to spend time with God in prayer. Amen? If we love God with all of our heart and soul, it means we're going to want to be in His Word, learning more about Him and growing in our knowledge of Him. And we're going to want to be in church and be with God's people and be under the sound of God's Word. We're going to want these things because we love Him. And we're trying to reveal that love through our behavior. If you love me, keep my commandments. So that is the first and the greatest commandment in all of the Bible, according to the one who wrote the Bible, according to the one who is synonymous with the Bible, Jesus. That we are to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Then he says, verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus 19:18. Now there was a young man in the book of Luke who, after Jesus said this, he thought he'd be a little bit of a smart aleck, and said, well, who's my neighbor? You remember that? And then that prompted Jesus to tell the story of the Good Samaritan in answer to his question. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, what do we learn? Who's our neighbor? Anybody who has a need. If we have the capacity to meet the need, that's our neighbor. Love our neighbor. So we're commanded in Scriptures to love our family, of course. We're commanded in Scriptures to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're commanded in Scriptures to love our enemies. Matthew 5:44. In other words, we're to love our fellow human beings with God's love, and that is the second of the greatest commandments. And as he says in verse 31, there is none other commandment greater than these. Go to Galatians 5. We'll see how Paul explained this second one. Galatians 5:14. You know, if Jesus was on earth, I think we've all learned that one thing you don't do is go up to Jesus and ask a smart alecky question, amen? Because you're not going to like the answer. It happened a lot of times, especially with the Pharisees, trying to capture and trick Jesus, and it always backfired on them, didn't it? Because Jesus is God. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He says, okay, you want to know the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is, love your neighbors yourself. But notice what Paul said, Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul there repeating what Jesus said. All the law relative to how we treat one another can be summed up in that. Often people refer to it as the golden rule. But in rebuking the church in Revelation 2, Jesus said, I have one thing against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Well, who's that? It's the one we're to love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How can we leave his love? That's simple. Our love is our actions. Our love is what we do with our time and with our thoughts and with our energy and with our goals and with our passions, our desires. That is our love. God sees all of that, and he sees it oftentimes, even though he saved us and gave us eternal life and even moved in. Sometimes we leave that first love. We get distracted by the world. We get distracted by sin. And God isn't first anymore. And as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is why we're here. We're here to please him. We're here to glorify him. We're here to serve him. We're here to be faithful to him. And so Jesus answered the question, what's the greatest? He said, I'll tell you the greatest. Love God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Now we find out it isn't so simple. It's very tough. It's a battle. It starts the day we get saved and it never ends. Because the flesh wants all of its love. And the world wants you to love it. And money wants you to love it. And the devil doesn't want you to love God. He wants you to love other things. And so the battle never stops. But the commandment is clear. Love him. Love God. All your heart. All your soul. All your mind. And all your strength. And while you're doing that, love everyone else as much as God loves you. That's it. That's all we have to do. But we got our work cut out for us. Amen. There is none other commandment greater than these two commandments. And it's something we have to work on every day until we go home. That we love God and that we love others. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for reminding us.